Welcome to the Title League Podcast. I'm Kurt.
And I'm Trish.
And today we're joined by Miss Jordan Canada.
The latest Jordan brand ambassador and the most current WNBA champion.
Two-time champion with the Seattle Storm. She plays with a super stacked team over there. We've had three WNBA women on our show. She'll be our fourth, and it's going to be very exciting to get her perspective and opinion, especially because, you know, she's not celebrating Christmas at home right now.
No, she is overseas. Like so many of the WNBA players, after the seasons are done, go and play in Europe. But there's a lot of excitement that's around Jordan, and I'm interested to see what she feels this legacy is for her. There's a number of people who are calling her the next Sue Bird, and those are big shoes to fill.
She gets to play with her favorite player in Sue Bird. She's leading a fantastic team with Breanna Stewart, and more importantly, just a great player. She was 2019 All Defensive Team. She's just relentless on the court. I love watching her play. I was watching a ton of her highlights this morning as well, just prepping for this interview, and you know, just getting excited because the game is growing and the WNBA is becoming more and more accessible. So, you know, hopefully she'll be able to stay in the U.S. in the future as the collective bargaining agreement continues to improve, as well as these endorsement deals, so that she doesn't have to spend Christmas away from home, right?
That's right, absolutely. Well, let's get her on the show.
Welcome to the show, Jordan Canada. Jordan, thanks for joining us all the way from Turkey on this Christmas Eve. How's your day?
It's gone great. We had a game today. We actually lost by, I think, 9 points. So, you know, it was a tough game. I'm actually not playing right now because there's some rule that I had to sit out 4 games. So today was the last game I'm sitting out. So it was kind of a rough day just because we lost. But at the same time, it's Christmas Eve. So, you know, that's a positive.
That is a positive. Do you have any of your family there with you?
No, I am by myself. I was going to bring my dog with me, but it was kind of a last minute thing. So I'm just by myself out here.
Wow.
At least for right now.
And this is a first for you in Turkey, because for the last couple of years you were in Poland, right?
My first year I was in Poland. I sat out of overseas last year. I got my knees cleaned up, so I didn't go overseas at all. And my first year I was in Krakow, Poland. I played for a team called Wisla Compact. So this is my second time overseas.
And what do you think, first impressions, the difference between Poland and Turkey?
Well, obviously the culture is very different. That's number one. But besides that, I would say the weather.
Oh, yeah.
Poland was super cold, snowing. I did not like it. I'm from LA, so I'm not used to the cold, not used to snow. I had to drive in snow. It was the worst thing ever. And here in Hatay, it doesn't snow here. It's cold, but it's not really cold. And we're by the Mediterranean, so that's also nice. So it's kind of like LA weather, so it's much better.
It's beautiful. And the architecture and culture are so different between the two places too. But I'd say both are beautiful, just different from each other.
Yeah, very different. But I mean, I got to see a lot of historical buildings in Poland and here. So it's been pretty nice to see, you know, different cultures as I travel. But it's been a pretty cool experience so far being in Turkey.
I'm from Lebanon originally, and so it's very similar. Like there's a lot of similarities, both being Mediterranean and Eastern cultures, Middle Eastern cultures. But I also watch a lot of Turkish soap operas that are dubbed in Arabic. So every time I watch, the scenes are just more beautiful one after the other. And it's like, okay, Turkey needs to be on the bucket list. It's on the travel list.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I've only been to Istanbul and Hatay, so those two places are absolutely gorgeous. So
you know, we'll get into some of the exciting basketball stuff in a minute, but just for context, can you tell us how you got to Turkey? How long are you there for? And just a little bit about the team. So are you there for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months?
So I'll be here till mid-April. And actually, I wasn't supposed to be here until January. Actually, I was deciding to skip the first half of overseas just because of COVID and all that has been going on. So I decided that I was going to take the first half of overseas off and go in January. And then my agent literally texted me the day before Thanksgiving and said, hey, we have an offer for you to play in Hot Tide Turkey. And I said, OK, that's great. You know, when will I be able to leave? And she said, well, you have to leave Monday. And I said, well, that's literally in like 5 days. And she said, well, she said, either, you know, I mean, you can take it and we can wait, or, you know, this is probably the best offer that you'll get considering, you know, the circumstances right now. So I said, okay. And literally I spent the last 5 days packing, going to the store, getting things that I needed for the trip. And then I came here. I winded up getting here on Wednesday because I had a huge layover in Istanbul. So I kind of stayed there for like half a day. And then I flew out and I got here on Thursday, December 3rd. And I've been here ever since. And actually, when I first got here, I didn't meet any of my teammates because everyone was in quarantine because but I believe 10 of my teammates got COVID.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know that until I landed and I spoke to the coach. He picked me up from the airport and he said, yeah, our game's been canceled this weekend because 10 of our players have COVID. And I was caught off guard and I was like, whoa. I was like, well,
this is your first.
I mean, right. This is my first time being in Hat Tie and this is the news that I get. So I didn't see any of my teammates for about a week and a half, 2 weeks almost. I met a couple of them. There was only two players that didn't have COVID and I worked out with them. But other than that, I didn't see any of my teammates till about, maybe about a week ago.
So when do you make your debut?
So Sunday will be my first official game.
I'm sure you're itching to play.
I'm itching to play. I haven't played since my last game in the WNBA on October 6th. So it's been like almost 2.5 months. So I'm itching to play, but I'm very excited that now I can, play with my team.
Well, maybe let's talk about that last game with the WNBA as champion and what that journey was like. And for the second time for you, does it get any different? Does it, do you numb yourself to winning? Like, what does that feel like?
This time was different just because of the circumstances that we were in and, what this season was dedicated towards, the Say Her Name campaign and Breonna Taylor and just social justice. I think it was very different and it was hard mentally, physically, emotionally. Just being in a bubble, not really having anyone come visit. I wasn't allowed to have anyone come visit me. So it was just pretty tough for 3 months. I mean, it's basically like being overseas, honestly. You're kind of secluded. I wasn't allowed to hang out with other teams in the beginning. When we first got there, we were all kind of quarantined. We weren't allowed to hang out with anyone. We didn't really have a lot of access to activities except for a hotel swimming pool, which everyone was allowed to be. But that was basically it. We didn't really have anything else. It was just basically have to make the most out of the situation. So it was a lot. There was times where, we had to take a step back and, have a rest day. I know that happened middle of the season with all the teams. I was just taking a mental day just because of all the stuff that was going on and having to battle that and also playing. It was just a lot, but it was worth it in the end. I mean, we winded up winning the championship second time around. So this one was very special just because of what the season was dedicated to. But I mean, I think my first one will always be my best one just because it was my rookie year. And it was something that I did not expect to happen right away. And it was just a special moment for me to be able to win that in my first year.
That's amazing. This season, for the guys and the girls, we're hearing more stories now about what an impact and the heaviness of the social injustice. So forget about COVID. Not that we should, but like, because that adds a layer to it. But you're isolated. You're in a bubble. You can't be with your family for the most part, if at all. That in and of itself adds to the tremendous stress that as professional athletes you guys already feel. But then we're in this unrest, and we use this show. We started this show to have it be more than just a podcast about basketball. We wanted to have the conversations that, you know, other shows weren't having about social injustice and politics and then the fun stuff like fashion and music. And I am going to get back to your singing just so that you don't like, you're not off the hook, girl, just so you know. But to me, I was actually watching the video. I'd seen the video that you all did in honor of Breonna Taylor back in the summer when it first dropped. And in prepping for this interview, I watched it again. And the sadness that I feel and the frustration that I feel, it hasn't gone away. Even now, 10 months, 8 months, I don't know. I don't even remember when March was. But how many months later, it does not go away and it hasn't gone away. And I'm just, and I know that we live in this world now where so many people are going about their day-to-day lives. And because it's not on social media as much as it once was, and it's not on the news as much as it once was, that I'm left with the feeling that maybe there's an impression out there that everything's okay, and everything is not okay still. That this issue has not been resolved for Breonna Taylor, for George Floyd, for an average African-American person walking the street. This issue has not been resolved. And so I guess my question to you, since you in the WNBA took such a strong stance, what is the follow-up? What follow-up can you bring now that we're in December of 2020? Where are we at? And what do we need to be doing?
I mean, honestly, just continuing to use my platform, you know, and trying to do right, you know, like the not just, you know, things that were going on with the social injustice, but the presidential election. We also had a huge part in that and getting people out and voting for the right person in office. So just always trying to speak up and using our voice. A lot of people tell us to stick to just playing sports, but you know, when it comes to living in a world, it's not just about me and myself. It's about, you know, the youth that is coming up, that is witnessing all this, and representation matters. To have an African-American woman who plays sports, who has a platform to use her voice. You want to have people like myself to speak up for kids that are coming up and growing up, because, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't really have representation of someone that I knew that was, you know, using their platform for the betterment, for not just America, but for the world. And so I think it's just continuing to use your voice in whatever situation that, you know, you are in or wanting to voice and be heard. I think it's really important because it's not just for you. It's for the world. It's for the youth that is growing up, and you want to see a change. And it starts with me. It starts with athletes who have that platform to use their voice. So just continuing to speak on matters that are very important.
To segue on that, you know, first, congratulations on the Jordan deal. That's super exciting. It's amazing. But with the Jordan deal, how does that also help and elevate, you know, the platform that you have to speak on social issues? Because it's great. You've got the Jordan brand, the sneakers. We all love that, and we can get into that. But I'm sure it also comes with, when you're looking at a brand to partner, are they aligned with your personal, you know, values?
Yeah, of course. Since I've been with the Jordan brand, they have been very supportive of me and, you know, the things that I choose that I am passionate about. And they've just been very supportive and helpful and tried to help in any manner. And that's what you would want when you're working with. It doesn't matter if it's a shoe deal or with any partnerships that you're working with. You always want to make sure you have a personal relationship with the brand. And Jordan has done an excellent job, and they have a big platform as well. So it's kind of like a win-win. You know, it helps them in terms of marketing, and it also helps me as well. And in all, it helps, you know, people that are listening and, you know, want to have and gain as much information as possible with the things that I'm passionate about and want to speak on when it comes to political matters or whatever it else may be. But Jordan has been absolutely 100% supportive in the things that I, you know, want to take on. So it's been great working with them so far.
The Jordan brand is, we all know how powerful it is. As a young girl growing up in LA, I mean, did you ever dream or think that, holy, I'd be a Jordan brand athlete? And, you know, we're talking just small things like an Instagram profile that has so much influence, like the Jordan brand's Instagram, and putting out that post with you and your fellow colleagues. And even now your alma mater in UCLA moving to Jordan brand. Like, did you ever think this could happen?
Yes, actually I did. I actually told my head coach, I said, you know, I really want to be sponsored by Jordan brand. I said that before, you know, I got drafted to the WNBA. I said, I would really love to be a part of the Jordan brand just because of what it represents. And, you know, also my name is Jordan. So I thought that would be a perfect connection. And so when I got drafted, I actually signed with Nike. And so although, you know, Nike's also, they go hand in hand, but, you know, Nike's also a great sponsorship as well. And they've been very supportive of me too. And then right before playoffs, I got a call from my agent and she said, hey, I have an opportunity for you. Jordan would like to take over your contract. And I was just like, wow. Cause I mean, I spoke it into existence years ago and, you know, you don't really expect things to happen right away, you know? So I mean, being patient and 3 years later, getting a call saying, hey, Jordan wants to take over your Nike deal. I mean, it was a no brainer. I was like, absolutely. Yes. I didn't even have to meet with, you know, the representatives. I was like, automatically, yes, I would love to be a part of the Jordan brand. And it was, you know, it was great. And then I had no idea that UCLA was going to be a part of Jordan brand until I had a meeting with Jordan about a week later. And I was actually quite upset because I was like, well, where was this when I was at UCLA and we were going between Adidas and trying to find our next sponsorship. And then we winded up getting Under Armour. So I kind of made a little joke to them, but all in all, I'm happy that they are Jordan now, because now I get to wear UCLA gear again. and you know, yeah, because I couldn't wear it for a while because they were Under Armour and I was Nike. So I'm just happy for UCLA and for the women's basketball team to be a part of it. And, you know, for me to hopefully be a part of some things in the future when it comes to UCLA. So
absolutely. Go Bruins.
Yes, go Bruins.
So when you were growing up, obviously growing up in LA, there's so much just Laker Nation. You spoke Jordan into existence. Was MJ someone that you looked up to, or were you kind of past that and it was looking at Kobe and his time? Like, who were some of the players that you looked towards on the men's side that really you tried to emulate your game on?
Well, growing up, I was a huge AI fan and a Kobe fan, obviously, because I'm from LA. But I watched a lot of AI clips. I mean, I had even read one of his books when I was younger. I just loved the way he played. You know, he was, you know, it was kind of like how I played when I was younger, you know, just that tenacity that he had and that fearlessness and that confidence that he had. And he, you know, he wasn't the tallest, but, you know, he was the quickest. He was very crafty. And, you know, that's kind of how I was growing up. You know, I was the smallest and, you know, I just tried to use my strengths to my advantage. And I watched him a lot. And, you know, Kobe just being the face of LA. And during that time growing up, you know, the Lakers winning back-to-back-to-back championships, which was awesome to see and witness. So just having Kobe, you know, in my backyard and then looking up to AI were the two main players that I looked at on the men's side.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just always kind of have this question because I'm surrounded by a lot of girls who play basketball. And they go, when I ask them, like, who's your favorite player? I don't specify if it's an NBA player or a WNBA player. And a lot of the times they go to the guys. And so I'm just curious, was that the way it was for you? Did you have favorite WNBA players, or was it later on that you got more aware of who was playing, who the women were who were playing in the WNBA?
I kind of got aware of it as I got older, just because during that time, you know, the WNBA wasn't really, you know, broadcasted as much as it is now. And so when I was younger, I would always see NBA games on TV, you know, and even though I did play basketball, I never, as a kid, I never thought, hey, I want to see a WNBA game. I did eventually when I got older. I did go to a lot of Sparks games when Lisa Leslie played, Tisha Pinatiero. And I got to kind of see, you know, the women's side as I got older. But when I was growing up and I was just getting into basketball, I mean, all I saw was NBA games. All my dad watched was NBA games. So I would sit with him and I would watch them. So it wasn't as much exposure for the women's side as it was for the men at my time growing up. But now, I mean, I watch it constantly. I'm always trying to watch a WNBA game. Or even women's college basketball, high school basketball. It doesn't matter. Just trying to, you know, get the game as much exposure as possible and just supporting as much as I can.
Yeah, you're also sizing up your competition.
That too, yes, absolutely. Well,
the WNBA this year, it was amazing to see what the NBA and WNBA did together because – it was the first time for us who are in Canada, we're Canadians, it's a Canadian podcast, we typically don't get WNBA coverage, and we got, you know, primetime WNBA coverage for the first time in history. I mean, typically we would have to find a weird stream, even if we were to try find a subscription, it was so hard. So the game was made available for us, which I absolutely enjoyed, and so many others did, because so many people say, oh yeah, I've never watched a WNBA game, but it's the hardest part has always been the accessibility piece. So it was amazing to see what happened this year and letting you guys play on not just a national stage, but an international stage.
Some of the games that I watched. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that some of the games that I watched, because I had never been able to see a WNBA game until the bubble, were better than a lot of the NBA games that I had been watching before. Just putting that out there.
And, you know, that's also what was special about this season, is that we were able to have all of our games on national television, which is very rare, and it doesn't happen in previous seasons. And the fact that we had that opportunity, I mean, it sucks that we had to have it during COVID and be in the bubble, but I mean, we gained a lot of exposure and a lot of fans. And I, you know, it's so hard because a lot of people talk about, you know, we want to watch more WNBA games, but it's so hard when you have to pay for a subscription and it's streaming online. And with the NBA, you don't have that problem. I mean, they have NBA TV, they have NBA League Pass on, you know, cable. You can just go and purchase it and then watch it on TV as you please. But you don't really get that with the WNBA. And that's why it's just so hard. So the fact that we had this opportunity to have majority of our games on a national broadcast, it just helped grow our game even more. I believe this was the most watched games ever, you know, since the WNBA. So the fact that that has happened, it's gaining more exposure, more fans. So hopefully in the future, we can continue to grow our game.
Well, and I think it sets a precedent to whoever makes these decisions that when you gave more people access to the games, those people actually watched them. So if it, because it all comes down to dollars and cents, right? If you're talking to major networks and they're saying there's no money and it's not worth it to air the WNBA games, you now have proof and statistics that show, yeah, actually it is beneficial to you. It will make you money. This is a good thing.
And also just the complete influence that this league has had. This year, how many people have we seen wearing an orange hoodie? It is one of the most influential fashion pieces of 2020. I think Sports Illustrated did the piece on it. But, I mean, I have an orange hoodie. I know friends who have gone and got it. And everyone in the NBA is repping it. It has become a fashion statement.
Yeah, and it's awesome to see that happened this season. And, you know, also give thanks to, you know, our brothers, the NBA players, you know, advocating for us and wearing those hoodies and getting us even more exposure with that. And it was just awesome to see how people, you know, celebrate us that we normally don't get to see just because, you know, we don't get marketed or broadcasted as much. So it's so great to see that our game is continuing to grow in many different ways. And hopefully in the future, we can continue to grow it, whether that be on national TV or more people, you know, take interest in purchasing, you know, our WNBA app and streaming more games.
Switching now just back to, you said you know, AI and Kobe. But on the woman's side, a lot of these, when you think of the GOATs in women's basketball, they're still playing. I mean, Sue Bird, your favorite player, you've been on record to say that. You're now playing with her. You know, Lisa Leslie, Candace Parker. I mean, the list goes on. Diana Taurasi, you know, the Maya Moore, obviously she's not playing anymore. But it's incredible because the duration of the careers are so long. So you're now playing with women that you may have heard of or watched growing up. What is that like?
It's something that I cannot describe. It's such a great experience for me to have someone like Sue in my early career, and not even just, you know, having her there, but to share a special moment of winning two rings with her. You know, I, you know, growing up and, you know, watching the game a little bit more as I got older, you know, I fell in love with Sue, but, you know, in terms of her game, I just admired her. I loved the way she played. I loved the way she directed her team and just being a leader on and off the floor. And then getting to be drafted by Seattle was a dream come true, because I was like, wow, this is actually happening. I'm actually going to get to play with Sue and learn. And then I get there my rookie season in training camp. And the first thing she said to me was, don't worry about trying to fill my shoes. Don't worry about the expectations of trying to be like me, because there's a lot of pressure with, you know, being, you know, a backup point guard and coming in and people saying, oh, is she going to be able to fill Sue's shoes? Is she going to be able to meet those expectations? And she said, don't worry about that. She said, you're here for a reason. You bring a different dynamic. We're two different players. And so this is only going to work if, you know, if we make it work and we learn each other. And to hear that from someone who was, 17 years in, was something that I truly needed to hear, because she didn't have to say that. She didn't have to say anything, honestly. And so for her to come up to me and say that, it kind of relaxed me. And it kind of helped me throughout the whole season, because that was something I was thinking about, like, oh my God, I got to play behind Sue Bird. Am I going to be able to amount up to what she has done for Seattle? And she's given me the confidence, but not just her, but my teammates in general. They've all given me confidence since day one, since I stepped on the court with Seattle. They've just been so inspiring and motivating, and they've been helping me thus far. And now in my third year and being more experienced and playing alongside her a little bit, it's just fun to see, you know, how much I've grown in my game. And, you know, how much she tells me, you know, that she's proud of me whenever she can. It's just a feeling that is is indescribable. But to have her be with me in my early career is amazing. And I'm truly blessed to have her be my teammate.
Well, I would say that her advice worked, because whether you were trying to or thinking about it or not, now it is the general opinion that you are the next Sue Bird, that this legacy that she has been passed on to you. And that is 100% yours to own and to love and to relish in. But with legacy comes responsibility. So what is, you know, what would be some of your advice? You're only 3 years in, you're still new, but what's your advice to those girls that are coming up behind you?
My advice is don't get too outside of yourself. Be who you are, be yourself. Just like Sue told me. And you know, that goes a long way. Trying to do things that, you know, that are not you, it's not going to get you very far. If you just continue to be yourself on and off the court and be authentic as much as you can, it's going to go a long way. And I've learned that. Thankfully, she was able to tell me that in my first year, and I was able to learn pretty quickly. But I think that's just something that's the most important thing, is be yourself, be authentic whenever you can, because it will truly take you way further than going outside of yourself.
You play with another superstar in Breanna Stewart. I mean, four-time college champion. You know, you've won two rings with her in the WNBA. how good is she from the eye test? Like, I haven't seen her, you know, I'm all the way in Canada. You get a practice with her. She just flat out balls.
It's unbelievable playing with Stewie. She is so easy to play with, honestly. I know anytime I get her the ball, I know it's a bucket.
Just stack those dimes, it's, eh?
Exactly. Just stack those dimes. And just to see how much of a leadership role she's taken on this season, especially coming back from an injury last season. And just to see it's scary to see that she's actually gotten so much better than when I was playing with her my rookie year. And to come back from an Achilles injury and to perform the way she did this season, it's unbelievable. It's like, I don't even know if she's real, honestly. She might not be human, but she's just amazing. Just anything that Stewie does, it's effortless. And it's just the work that she puts in. I see it day in and day out, whether it be at practice, she's there shooting before, she's there shooting after, and just doing the things that she needs to take care of her body. And that's why she plays the way she plays and can perform the way she performs, is because she constantly puts in work. So playing with her is a breeze. I love it.
Like, you know, 4 years at UCLA for you, you got to the tournament, you know what it's like. That UConn team and her winning four straight chips, like, is crazy. And I read something that, you know, you wanted to stay in LA. You went to UCLA. You didn't want to go a different route. You wanted to create your own legacy there. How much can you attest, like, just what it takes to win a college championship?
Well, I wish I could tell you. I didn't win one. But it's hard, you know. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of effort and just hard work day in and day out. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't able to win, you know, a Pac-12 championship or NCAA. I mean, we won the WNIT championship. So, I mean, it's just hard. It's tough and it's not easy. But when you continue to fall in love with the process and not to get fixated on the results, then you'll start to see, you know, the results that you want. And that's something that I had to learn my freshman year. I mean, I was so fixated on winning and results, and I wasn't thinking about falling in love with the process, because that's when you truly, develop the grit and the determination and the hard work and the character, of, you know, of the player that you want to be. And so I had to learn that the hard way my freshman year. And then once I learned that, I mean, everything just kind of worked out for me in the end. But falling in love with the process is something that I would say is truly important going through those years and learning how to build a championship culture and getting to win a championship.
That's why you're a two-time WNBA champ now. So, Jordan Brand, do you have someone on speed dial now? Like, how do you get your kicks down to Turkey?
And how do you get some over
it's
to us?
Actually, it's actually pretty hard with customs. I haven't got any shoes sent to me since I've been here, but I did take a lot of my Jordans from home and basketball shoes, and I brought them with me. But it's really hard to get stuff through customs here. So hopefully in the future I will be able to before I leave Turkey. But most of the stuff that I have brought with me, the Jordans I brought from home.
Well, look, I know a guy. So if you get those Jordans up here to me, I will get them to you in Turkey. I can make that happen.
we could talk about
what
that.
What size are you? What's...
I'm a seven. I'm a
perfect.
Seven.
Perfect.
Oh my. Because I would imagine, you know, I haven't seen the jerseys and the colorways, but I'm sure you want the colorways to match what you're wearing down there, right?
Honestly, no. If I like a colorway, I will wear it. It doesn't matter if it's not my jersey color, because our jersey colors are blue, white, and, you know, kind of navy blue. And I have shoes that are that are orange, red. I don't care. As long as the colorway looks nice and the shoe is designed and it's cool, I'll wear it. It doesn't matter to me.
So how many shoes did you take down?
So I've learned from Poland that not to pack as many shoes. When I was in Poland, I packed too many and I barely wore them. So this time I packed 7 pairs of shoes. I mean, that's still kind of a lot, but I packed 7 pairs of casual shoes. And then I brought 5 pairs of basketball shoes, which I've been rotating since I've been here. So, I mean, it just depends on the mood that I'm in, but most of the time I'm in flip flops, honestly. I don't know why I brought 7 pairs of shoes, but I wasn't expecting, you know, I thought I was going to be going out a little bit more, but I'm mostly in flip flops most of the time. So.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in the Mediterranean, flip flops sound just about right. You know?
Exactly. Yes.
You know, you make your debut Sunday, you arrived, I'm sure you would have had to spend some time in quarantine. Have you had access to a gym to just get reps up?
So actually, I'm living in the facility. You know, they have a...
That's like a dream come true to any hooper.
Yes. So I'm basically living in a college dorm, I guess you can say, which is something that also caught me off guard. I thought I was going to be living in an apartment, but I'm actually living in a dorm, basically. So yeah, the basketball court is right downstairs. I literally have to just walk down and the court is open 24/7 whenever I want to use it. And we also have a weight room that is open as well whenever I want to use it. So I have access to a gym whenever I want to get in. So it's nice to have that option. And it's also nice that I don't have to drive to a gym to go put shots up. So that's kind of cool.
Pros and cons. And how different would you say the international game is from the WNBA?
Oh, man. It's different. I think here it's much more methodical. You know, coaches are really in control most of the time with calling plays and, you know, not really being able to, you know, just freelance and just play naturally. This game is a little bit methodical. And then at times it does get pretty physical. I mean, tonight we had a game and it was super, super physical. And the refs let you play sometimes. And it does get a little bit heated. I mean, it gets physical in the WNBA. But I think, you know, it's something different about international play that makes the physicality a little bit different. But I would just say it's much more methodical. Which is something that, you know, I'm kind of not used to. So I have to, you know, adjust whenever I'm playing here overseas. But that's probably the biggest difference that I notice.
And as far as language barrier, I mean, do your teammates, are they, what is that like? I mean, you were in Poland, now you're in Turkey. Those are not easy languages.
It's not, but luckily most of my teammates speak English. And so do my coaches. So it's a little bit easier. In Poland, it was a little bit more tough just because not everyone could speak fluently in English. So a lot of things had to be translated to me versus here. I mean, they speak English, so it's easier to understand. It's still kind of a language barrier, but I kind of understand everything for the most part just because everyone speaks English.
What do you do for fun? Besides basketball, I'm sure I know that that's fun. But besides basketball, so actually, probably whatever you do for fun there too, because it's not like you have friends to hang out with. It's not, I mean, besides your teammates, and it's not a culture that you're familiar with or used to. You are just new there, but yeah, what's like a Saturday night for Jordan Canada? That isn't basketball related.
Since it is COVID, I haven't really been able to go out and venture out because, you know, obviously I don't want to get COVID. So I've just been kind of here. But when I'm here, I try to FaceTime my family and friends as much as possible. I actually have a Becoming Journal, Michelle Obama Becoming Journal, that, you know, I've been writing in day to day just to, you know, keep me busy.
Yeah, keep you mindful and grounded.
Yeah, exactly. I brought my PlayStation that my dad bought me just in case I wanted. I never play video games, but I brought it just in case I wanted to. I mean, and that's basically it, and hang out with my teammates when I can. But other than that, it's not really too much to do just because I wish I could venture out and go out, but just because of COVID, it's not really much to do here. So that's kind of like what my typical day is like. It's not really much right now.
So last year, this time last year, you stepped out of your comfort zone. And you took a risk and you posted a cover song on your Instagram. Can we hear the story behind that?
Yeah, so I was actually talking to one of my closest friends. And I was just saying, you know, like, I want to do something different. I want to be able to, you know, put myself out there more because I'm a very reserved and introvert person. So I don't really like, I'm not really out there like that on social media or just when I meet new people. So I decided, I was like, you know what? I really want to venture out. I want to do something different. I want to take a risk. And she said, well, why don't you start with, you know, singing, putting singing videos on Instagram. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. She said, well, how are you going to, you know, put yourself out there if you don't take a risk? So I was like, okay, I mean, I'm very shy when it comes to singing. I do not like singing in public. Like, I really don't.
You have a beautiful voice, though, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. I just decided one night, I was like, hey, can you record me singing a cover song? And she said, great. And so she recorded me and edited it and sent it to me. And then I posted it and I got a lot of great reactions. And so I was like, wow, maybe I'll do this again. And then I wind up doing another cover song. And then ever since then, I haven't done it. But, you know, hopefully I will surprise Instagram and, you know, put a video out there pretty soon. But that's kind of how it happened.
Okay. So you did a beautiful job. It was gorgeous. I'm not going to make you sing unless you want to. But you chose a very specific song. So I need you to spill the tea. Who were you singing that song about?
Which
bust,
song?
Bust the windows out of your car. That's not just like, I'm going to pick a song and sing it. That is a song that is usually dedicated to somebody.
That's very true. It wasn't directed towards anyone. I just love Jasmine Sullivan. And so I was like, I should sing one of her songs. And Bust Your Windows has always been a favorite song of mine of hers. So I was just like, you know, I'll sing this one. But it wasn't directed towards anyone.
Girl, you can tell me. This is a safe space.
I would never bust anyone's windows. That is not me, but.
Okay.
Oh, my. yeah, Trish has a great voice, too. So she was probably hoping that you guys would collab on a project together.
We can do that.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't see, you didn't mention you were a singer.
Whatever. This is about you. It's not about me. But if you ever want to work on something together, duets are fun.
There we go. Switching gears quickly. We're getting to the top of the hour. So I saw the picture you posted at Mamba Academy. We talked about Kobe earlier. You captioned it. It was just a few weeks before his passing. Was that the first time that you had met Kobe?
Yes, it was. And ironically, it's so crazy how life works. So actually, my AAU coach, she would do scrimmages with his team on the weekends. And so she asked me, she said, hey, would you like to come down, you know, for one day to, you know, meet Kobe and watch the games and, you know, just hang out. And I actually said no, because I was supposed to go to Disneyland with one of my closest friends. I said, no, it's okay. I said, you know, I'll meet him another time. That's what I said.
Wow, you almost stood him up.
And I thought about it. I thought about it and I said, what the hell? I said, why would I not want to meet Kobe? Who wouldn't want to meet Kobe Bryant? So I texted her back. I said, hey, yeah, I would love to come. Just let me know when and where. And so I showed up and he was standing on the sideline with one of the other coaches and they were just talking and and stuff. And I was sitting in the stands. And so he turned around and he looked at me, and I was looking at him like, you know, and he knew who I was. And that to me was like something I never would have imagined.
So what did he say?
So he kind of ushered me over. And so I came down, I introduced myself. He said, "I know who you are." And I was like, "Wow." And so I said, "Well, it's an honor to meet you." And he said, "So it's an honor to meet you too." And then the first thing he asked me was, "So what are you working on this off season?" And I said, "I mean, a consistent jumper, honestly, just, you know, being able to knock down a consistent J." And he said, "Yeah, I can tell." He said, "Have you been practicing your turnaround jumpers?" And I'm like, oh my God, like, he's like deciphering my game already. And I literally just met him like 2 minutes ago. And so he was like, "Yeah, you just gotta be consistent. Just stay in the gym, get 1,000 shots up a day. And just keep working at it, because, you know, as long as you keep getting reps up, you'll be confident in knocking down your shot." And so I said, "Thank you." And I said, "Well, how's the team?" We started talking about his team, and you know, he was telling me, you know, the kids are coming along great, learning a lot of stuff. And at that point he said, "Hey, I'll talk to him a little bit later," because he had to go and, you know, coach a game. So after the first game, he's walking over with Gigi and he's telling me again to come down. So I come down. He said, Gigi was like, "Are you joining Canada?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Oh my God." And she was just like, she was just in shock. Like, and I was just like, oh my God, like this. And to me, I'm like, oh my God, this is Gigi Bryant. Like, I'm the one who should be shocked. I'm talking to you. And so I got to talk to her a little bit and just have a conversation with her about basketball and, you know, what she's looking to do. And it was just like, I'm so glad that happened, because when I found out, when he got into that terrible helicopter accident, I was actually on my way to a UCLA game with my best friend, and he told me while I was driving, and I was like, "No, that's not true. That's probably just some fake news." And I'm sitting there at the game and they confirmed it, and I was trying so hard to keep it together because it's so emotional, and it hit me even harder just because of the fact that I had met him a couple of weeks prior. And in my mind, I was like, wow, I can't believe that I was going to turn down an opportunity to meet Kobe. And I was so grateful and so honored that I did decide to finally meet him, and just to see how he was such a great dad. Just watching him with all of his daughters while I was at the scrimmage, just watching him, how he was so intentional with each and every one of them, and just how he was so nice to everyone that came across him. You know, it's Kobe. Everyone wants to talk to Kobe. And, you know, he took the time out of his day to talk to each and every person that came up to him. And that just spoke volumes of who he was as a person and who he was as a dad. And a lot of people know him as a basketball player, but when I got to see who he was off the court, you know, I fell in love with him even more. So he was just really down to earth, and to hear that, you know, what happened to him and Gigi and the rest of people that were involved is just it's just heartbreaking, honestly.
You know, I flip between what's the more tragic thing, right? So obviously losing Kobe Bryant and not knowing what could have happened and where his life would have taken him. I mean, he was 40 years old, 42 years old. He was not an old guy. So the loss of that legend and that person, and what were the next 40 years of his life going to look like? And then I flip to all of the other lives that were lost, all of those young girls and their parents and the families that are left to pick up pieces with half of their core units gone. And what it always comes back to is, Gigi dying is the most tragic thing that happened that day. In my mind, it's not to take away the tragedy, because there's a lot of tragedy. But that Absolutely. Moment, that potential, that life, that girl, that light, is what kills me every single time I think about that. honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally agree, because when I was watching the games, she was so much like Kobe. It was insane. Just everything, the mannerisms, the moves, everything. When I watched this girl play for the first time in person, I've seen highlights on social media, but that was the first time I got to see her in person. And this girl was shooting NBA threes. She was shooting turnaround jumpers. She was giving no-look passes, bounce passes. I mean, the biting of the jersey, everything to the T was exactly like Kobe. And it hurt so much, because I wanted to see, you know, where she was going to go as she got older and her growth. Because I believe she was going to be one of the best to grow the game and to take the game even further, just because, you know, she was Kobe's daughter, and she had her own, she was growing into her own as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's so sad to hear that. It's like, that probably was the most devastating thing, is to know that Gigi did also pass away in that tragic accident. And it's just, you know, it's like you hope that maybe one of the younger girls take up basketball, but it's, you know, it's not the same, because, mm-hmm. you know, he's not there. But
it feels like you've lost him twice.
Right. Yes, exactly. And, you know, I don't, it's something that I don't think I'll ever be. I'm still not over it. You know, I don't think anyone will really ever get over this tragic accident, just because it was so sudden. And just like I said, the man that Kobe was, the father that he was, the basketball player that he was, it's like, it shocked the world. And how many people can you say shocked the world like that, touched the world, moved the world? There's not a lot of celebrities or people in general that can do that. I mean, the only person that I really can think of is Michael Jackson, honestly. Yeah. I can't think of anyone else that has moved and saddened the world the way those two have. So, you know, like I said, hopefully maybe one of the younger girls will take up basketball. And but if not, I mean, Gigi's legacy will always live on, and so will Kobe's. Yeah.
Exactly. This past week, I just, you know, I'm sure you saw it, but there were the pictures surfacing of Tiger Woods and his son. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about how she emulated the mannerisms and everything. And when I saw that, that's what I thought about, was, you know, she emulated her game. It was almost like a mirror of his. So special, right?
And maybe,
so special.
Yeah, and
I did see that video. Tiger Woods and his son, and that's also insane too, just
oh my
to
God,
see
it
his
looks identical.
Yeah.
Yes, it's crazy.
And maybe one of the other girls doesn't play basketball, but he has such a bigger legacy than basketball, and he had he had way more potential that could have happened, and maybe it will be one of them that carry on what that next part of his life would have been, right? Anyway, very sad.
So just on your turnaround, how's the turnaround looking?
You know, I guess you'll just have to find out next season. You know, I'm working on it, but I guess you'll just have to find out next season.
That's the consistency that we'll be looking for. I mean, when I watch you play, you talk AI. It's splitting the passing lanes. I mean, you led the WNBA in steals in 2019. That is so exciting, and you know, you're just getting started. So, you know, we add a few Kobe turnarounds. I think it's going to be game over.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I don't want to be the one to brag, so you can brag for me. but yeah, if I add that to my game, that'll be something special.
We're gonna put the league on notice. So, Christmas tomorrow. You're away from family and friends. You've got your teammates, but what are you doing to, you know, it's already late tonight. Well, over tonight and into tomorrow, what does Christmas Day in Turkey look like?
Honestly, I have no idea. This is my first time spending Christmas alone, so I have no idea what I plan to do. I know we do have to take a COVID test in the morning, so that will be on my agenda. And after that, it's kind of like see where the day takes me, honestly. I'm not quite sure. I've never been in this situation before. So my first Christmas alone, who knows what I'll be doing.
What about food? Like, what are you missing the most about being in Turkey from a food standpoint?
From a food standpoint, actually not much. The food here is actually really good. I have not had any problems with food, and I'm a very picky person. If anyone knows me, I'm super picky. But since I've been here, I have not had any problems finding food, enjoying the food. So I'm not really missing the food in that aspect.
You know, the thing is that Christmas this year is going to be different for all of us. We have gathering limitations here. I come from a big family. Usually Christmas Day at my house is 35 family members sitting and eating dinner all together and everybody in your face and drinking and laughing. And just the 5 days between Christmas and New Year's is all of us all together doing everything all together. And this year it's not going to be that. So one of the things, if I can leave you with a bit of advice for your first Christmas alone, is just trying to make new traditions and being thankful and finding more creative ways to be with your family. So you get that little doggy of yours on a FaceTime and reach out to people that you haven't even spoken to in a long time, even if they're not a part of your normal Christmas tradition. Make new traditions, walk around if you're allowed to do that, and see what Turkish Christmas looks like. Maybe even go into a church if you're allowed to do that. I don't know. And not because you are looking for a place to worship, but just to see what that culture, how that culture celebrates this special time of year. But I'll be sending you lots of love over the next few hours. Because I know I know that my Christmas is going to be hard, so I can imagine that your Christmas is going to be hard too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, we've got a few fun questions that Trisha's I'm going to hand over to, and then we're all set.
So I actually have a first question before we get into the three questions that I usually ask. And this is just a random, your last name is Canada. Is it an automatic next question? Oh, are you Canadian? Like, do you ever get that?
Yes, a lot of people. Yes.
That
must be so annoying.
That is the first question people ask me is, are you from Canada? And I say, no.
I'm not my God. Honestly.
You know, I do tell myself, I said, if someone ever asks me that again, I will say yes.
Oh, good. Oh, you should do that. I love it. We'll take you.
We will happily take you as a nation.
Come.
And the thing is, I've never been to Canada, and I've always wanted to go. Okay. So
you're so close in Seattle.
Okay. Right, so Seattle is like a 3.5 hour drive, like in your car from Vancouver, which is one of the coolest cities in Canada. We're going to stay in touch. Once COVID changes, we're on the East Coast, but I will fly to Vancouver and come pick you up and then bring you back.
Well, hopefully this season, if we're not in the bubble and we're actually in Seattle, I might just take a trip to Canada, to Vancouver.
You should, honestly.
Might as well. It's only 3.5 hours.
3.5 hour drive. 3.5 hour drive. It's a beautiful drive. It's like the tail end of the PCH. It's beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think immigration would be confused.
Well, they might not give you a hard time though. All right. So
I think I have a fake passport.
Yeah, definitely call in CSIS, the Canadian Border Services. We're not quite sure about this one. It's a little bit too on the nose. All right. So the three questions that I ask, they're fun. Nothing to do with basketball, and don't think too hard. Just give the first answer that comes to mind. Okay.
Okay.
So the first one is, if you were to write your autobiography today, what would you call it?
Built Not Born.
Yep. Nice.
I've seen the logos, the shirts, the merch. Oh. I love it.
And who would you get to play you in the movie?
I get this a lot, but probably Sanaa Lathan.
Gorgeous choice.
Everyone tells me I look like Sanaa Lathan. I always get love and basketball references, so probably Sanaa Lathan.
Okay, nice. And which TV show, either current or from the past, is most like your life?
That's a hard one. I would probably... I would probably say Martin, just in the aspect of like friends, like having friends and joking and laughing and all that good stuff. Because I have a group of friends that I'm always with. We're always laughing, joking. We do a lot of things together. So I would say Martin. That would probably be the closest.
Those are fantastic answers. Thank you.
those were quick. A lot of times people get stumped. They need a few seconds. You were rapid fire, even on the last one. So that was awesome. Thank you, Jordan. We wish you a Merry Christmas all the way from Canada. We hope that we can, have a little bit of influence for you to get up here at some point in time. But it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you today, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you both for having me on. I had a great time, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And hopefully I will be taking that trip to Canada very soon.
Awesome. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. Join Trish and I every week as we welcome the stars and personnel from the league we love, the NBA. Listen and subscribe for free wherever you find your podcasts.